Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 14th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, you know, we had all these stories Jesus has been teaching, and then there is this interruption. Things get cut off, shall we say, as John the Baptist loses his head to Herod. Now, John the Baptist was a relative of Jesus. As best we can tell, he's probably a cousin. And that sets up today's lesson. When Jesus heard this, that John had been beheaded, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went to shore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up from heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And he took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now, many of you may be wondering where my dad is, because he's normally camped out right there. He's probably online. Terry's shaking her head, yes, so he's probably up there. He's out traveling, visiting friends in the upper Midwest, and I'm realizing that I should have warned him. You know, he's going to the Twin Cities, and I realize biblically there's a problem. The Bible mentions St. Paul. Nothing about Minneapolis whatsoever, so, you know, that might be a place to avoid. Now he can't say anything to me, but I'm waiting for my phone to light up on me in a text kind of stuff, you know. I realized that, you know, my dad in an earlier life was a mime. He never spoke about it. And I don't know if you know this, but the Reed Park Zoo has a rule. You know that they put the animals to work? The animals do chores. The lion sweeps tonight. And that earworm is just a whim away. You're welcome. Yes, it's amazing how something like that can go, okay, wait a minute, oh, now I'm going to hear it. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of those that every once in a while there's a song lyric, and there's my phone already lining up on me. Uh-huh, 3 groans, okay. Where all of a sudden, you know, Jenny will just look over at me and go, "What song is going on in your head right now?" And I'm like, "You don't want to know." And then I tell her, and then about 5 minutes later, I look over at her, and she's, "Yep, got you too." Because it's just something that's there. It's something that underlies it, and you just feel it, and sometimes you just get this feeling. And for whatever, something triggers it. And you hear, and you go, okay. The sad fact is a lot of, we just kind of, you know, we really don't overlook. We really don't give it a second thought. It's just there. It just happens. Or we don't even realize it anymore, and it becomes like background noise. There's a part of me that wonders if this gospel lesson has kind of done that. You know? Jesus feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. Good for you, Jesus. Now, just for the record, this is one of the few miracles that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. One of the other Gospels, Jesus not only feeds 5,000 people at one time, he feeds 6,000 another time. Just to show that, yes, he can, I guess. I don't know. It's there. And we go, okay, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. That's lovely. Thank you, Jesus. And we stop thinking about it beyond that. It's just there. People are hungry. Jesus feeds them. Taken care of. Asked, answered, and we don't give it much thought. But then maybe if we look at it a little closer, we'll realize that, well, yes, it's not just, we go 5,000, well, 5,000 men. Because let's face it, just a gentle reminder, that the scriptures are written at a time and place where women were not even considered fully human. Then again, most of society, unfortunately, is still trying to catch up with that concept, even 2,000 years later, it seems. So we go, okay, well, maybe we learned something. Okay, we've got a little further. And we go, well, wait a minute. So he fed these 5,000 men, women, and children. They were in a deserted place. What the heck? It doesn't seem so deserted to me if there's 5,000 plus there. I don't know about you, but try that in a small town. That's bigger than a small town. And it used to be a deserted place. And we go, wait a minute, but why was Jesus in a deserted place? He even left his disciples behind. You notice that in the story? He took a boat by himself. He wanted to get away. A close family member was just executed. Literally as a political stunt and a payoff to a salacious dance. Read the verses before if you want to read that. The whole statement about what you want something served to you on a silver platter, that's the origin of that story. It just happens to be John the Baptist's head. He wanted to get away. But people still followed. Huh. People still found him, even in a deserted place. I also find it interesting that the people found him and later the disciples did. Sometimes that's a reminder to me that maybe, just maybe, the followers of Jesus tend to follow behind and play catch up a little bit too much. And then when they get to him, they're like, it's late. Ditch the crowd. So they can go and find food. Well, maybe if we keep thinking and we keep digging and we keep looking and we go, wait a minute, there's a command of Jesus in here. For those of you who read letter Bibles and stuff like that, that normally has the words of Jesus, here's one of them that should be in bold print because it's a command, it's an emphatic. What is it? You give them something to eat. Wait a minute. We started off by going, oh, look, Jesus fed all of these people. And we kept digging and digging and digging, and we realized that these people were not supposed to be there in the first place. Jesus was trying to get away. The disciples eventually caught up. The disciples want to get rid of these people. And Jesus' response is, you give them something to eat. And their reaction is, we don't have enough. Is this starting to sound more and more like life? I'd like to do that. But I can't. I don't have the time. I don't have. I don't know how. I don't have enough. Have you ever had to say that to someone else? Man, there's a lot of blank faces looking at me. You guys are all better than I am. You seem to have more than me. Wouldn't necessarily be a stretch, but We've all had to make decisions based on what we thought was needed, based on what we thought we had. Now, the story doesn't end with the disciples magically, you know, creating more food, or them quick, run to town. John, you're the youngest. You got the youngest legs. Quick, run to town. Here's some money. Just for the record, 5,000 men plus women and children is, you're talking several thousand denarii worth of money, more likely than not, to be able to pay for all of that. I wouldn't want to run with that much coinage. I would stop them right at the door and go, hey, we got this cup of cold water. Save the weight. What does Jesus do? Did he just shake his head? Did he just clap his hands together and, et voila? No, he said, bring them here to me. He looked up, blessed, broke, gave them to the disciples, and handed it out. And somehow there was enough for the 5,000 men, plus women and children, and 12 baskets of leftovers. You notice what happened? Well, Jesus just did it, right? Yes, Jesus just did it. He just did it with 5 loaves and 2 fish that he didn't have to start with. Jesus just did it with those 5 loaves and 2 fish, with the 12 disciples helping to distribute it. Jesus just did it through blessing and prayer. We call it a miracle. Jesus just did it. And what needed to make it possible was the disciples had to stop worrying about how it was going to get done. They just got on with getting it done. People at the lot were fed last week, plus 15 more at a park. How did that happen? No idea who all is going to get fed today. How is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? God's work, our hands. How is that going to happen? We respond to Jesus saying, you give them something to eat. How is that going to happen? That we actually embody what St. Paul was talking about when he said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When we actually step out in faith, knowing that God is with us and that God provides. When we pray for daily bread, do we also realize that as we pray for daily bread, we're also praying for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done? And we pray in the name of the one who's told us that the kingdom is near. The one who sends us out with that message. And oftentimes it involves carrying bread. Or some other foodstuff. Or whatever that person needs. Jesus didn't worry about whether or not any of those people were qualified, needed it, or anything else like that. He saw a bunch of people out there in need and went, do it. Part of this lesson is to go, yes, God provides. But part of this lesson is also noticing what disciples can do when we actually listen to Jesus. When we dare to follow, when we dare to realize that we're part of that hungry crowd just like everybody else, we realize just how much we need that bread. And we realize so does our neighbor. And we notice just what all is possible with God. It is amazing to see the fact that last year, the congregation collected 150 jars of peanut butter for the summer peanut butter rally for Interfaith Community Services. Last count, we're somewhere around 400. How'd that happen? You give them something to eat. And you did. That's only a small portion of what we've collected thus far. How is this possible? You give them something to eat. And as we do that, we ourselves are fed. As we do that, we see just how good God is. And we see just how much it's needed for ourselves. Jesus takes bread, breaks it, and blesses us, blesses it, and blesses us through it. We celebrate that most poignantly at communion. That hopefully each and every one of us know we need, as we sit in the deserted places of our lives, as we deal with the things that need healing, as we struggle with the world in which we live and we wonder how, or anything else like that, open your hand and receive and be fed and then be sent. Sent to share the good news. Sent to respond to what God has done for you. How? The Spirit's going to do some amazing work. And it has done amazing work. And so I say thank you for all that has been collected. I invite you to consider what other things that may be done for the lot today. We're going to be doing a stuff the bus thing through our community connection. It's not the stuff the bus, stuff the truck. Mobile food pantry for ICS September 10th, for God's Work, Our Hands weekend. But also for just each and every one of us, out the how. And that starts in Our Father, your will be done, your kingdom come. Give me this day my daily bread. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, forever and ever, even today. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.